Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 24th of February, 2026, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Interesting article in Israel, My Glory, but it ought to open our eyes to the time in which we live. Anti-Semitism is something that Satan is promoting all over planet Earth. Definitely promoting it in the United States of America, but he's promoting it all over the world. And he has his man that's going to come on the scene following the rapture. That's when the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed. He very likely could be living right now, and he is living in Europe, because the Antichrist will be the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, and then he will wind up ruling the entire planet Earth. And there is anti-Semitism increasing throughout Europe, just preparing for the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, to come on the scene. This article is entitled "The Crime of Singing in Hebrew." You didn't know that was a crime, did you? The crime of singing in Hebrew. A chilling video circulating online shows a young woman being pinned against the floor of an airport as Spanish police place her in handcuffs, manhandling her in the process, and hitting her. The video has drawn condemnation not only because of what it shows, but also because of what it led to the incident. The removal of 44 French Jewish teenagers. The woman was supervising from a European flight for the crime of singing in Hebrew. The children and their 21-year-old supervisor were part of Club Kinneret, a Jewish summer camp hosted in Valencia, Spain. On July 23, 2025, the campers were seated aboard a flight operated by the Spanish economy airline Vueling to return to Paris, France from Spain. The Spanish police removed the children and their camp supervisor from the plane when the supervisor insisted on reboarding with the children. The police restrained her and beat her. Samson, a 17-year-old camper on the flight, said the incident began when one of the campers sang in Hebrew. That's a horrible crime, singing in Hebrew. Another camper on the flight corroborated the boy's story in a video shared to X. She said the campers played a game in which one person would sing a Hebrew word and the rest of the group would sing another back. The staff of the airline heard that we were Jewish, and they started to get really mad. They started to shout at us. And after the silence returned, the police started to arrive and forced us to leave. When we got out of the plane, outside, they wanted to take our phones because there were some who had filmed the scene, including me. So I had to delete all the videos. And our director stepped in, and because she intervened, they hit her. The campers and their supervisor were stranded in Spain before eventually making their way back to France. Multiple voices, both inside and outside the Jewish community, have called for an in-depth investigation. Jim Burke, CEO of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, an organization calling for the investigation, stated, "If Jewish children singing in Hebrew now triggers law enforcement and handcuffs, then something is terribly broken, not just in the airline's policy, but in the nation itself. And the nation is Spain, and that's going to be a part of the revived Roman Empire. And the ruler of the revived Roman Empire is the Antichrist, and he will have an objective: destroy all Jews from the face of the earth. He is Satan's right-hand man. It's already being pushed and promoted all throughout Europe in the future revived Roman Empire." Zechariah chapter 5. We have studied the first five visions of Zechariah in chapters 1 through 4. There were eight visions given to him. We studied the first five in chapters 1 through 4. We are now in chapter 5. We have already studied vision number 6, the flying scroll, in chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And we are in the process of studying vision number 7, the flying ephah, in chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. When we finish that, then we move on to the last and final vision, vision number 8, in chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, the four chariots. But we haven't quite got there yet. We're in the middle of the flying ephah, chapter 5, 5 through 11. Zechariah's first five visions greatly encouraged and comforted the Jewish remnant returning from Persia and from Babylon. They revealed that the Lord would return to Jerusalem with mercy, grace in action. He would give Israel victory over its enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ himself would be the wall of fire of protection. He would reestablish and enlarge Jerusalem. He would purify and reinstate Israel's high priest Joshua. He would remove the mountain of opposition that had stopped the rebuilding of the temple. And he assured the completion of the temple. However, the last three visions, 6, 7, and 8, take an abrupt turn. Instead of foretelling blessing, they are a stern warning of judgment, of a curse, because of the degeneracy and reversionism in the land. Before Israel could experience the blessings, the land had to be purged from individual and national degeneracy and reversionism. In this seventh vision, we have exegeted verses 5 through and part of 9. 5 through 8 and part of verse 9. And that sounds like this in corrected translation. Then the angel, the teaching angel, who was talking to me, came forward and said to me, "Now look up and see what this is going forth, yatsaing," and that is flying. And I asked, "What is it?" And he, the teaching angel, replied, "This is the ephah that is yatsaing, that is flying. Moreover," he added, "this is their eye, their appearance, the iniquity of the people throughout the earth. And behold," verse 7, "a lead cover was lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the ephah." Verse 8, "Then he said, 'This is wickedness. This is evil personified.' And he thrust her down into the basket," the ephah, "and pushed the lead cover down over its mouth." And then verse 9, we haven't exegeted all of verse 9, but part of verse 9. "Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women were coming out with the wind in their wings. And they had wings like the wings of a stork." And that's as far as we got last week in our exegesis. And before we go on with the finish the verse, a couple of points. One, they had the wings of a stork. And the stork, point one, is an unclean bird. Unclean bird, we have evil personified in the womb inside the ephah, so you would know that the bird that carrying this would be unclean. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 13. These are the birds that you are to detest. Detest. And not eat because they are detestable. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, and any kind of black kite, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. Go over to Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, verse 11. You may eat any clean bird, but these you may not eat. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, the black kite, any kind of falcon, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the cormorant, the stork, and any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. So the stork is an unclean bird. Detestable. Point two. The ecumenical religious system of the tribulation is an unclean, evil religion. The ecumenical religious system of the tribulation is an unclean, evil religion. Three, the first woman is religious Babylon, represents religious Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. The first woman represents religious Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. Point four, the second woman represents commercial Babylon, Revelation chapter 18. The second woman represents commercial Babylon, Revelation chapter 18. Five, the wind in their wings represents the rapid ascendancy of the great prostitute, Babylon the Great, of the tribulation. The wind in their wings represents the rapid ascendancy of the great prostitute, Babylon the Great, of the tribulation. So, corrected translation again. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women were coming out with the wind in their wings, and they had the wings like the wings of a stork. Now we can continue on in our exegesis. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperfect of nasa. And of course, when you're going up, being lifted up between the earth and heaven, you know that's NASA, see. You see, it's right there. And it was not NASA. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperfect of NASA plus the direct object marker F joined by a makef to the noun EFA with a definite article plus the construct of the preposition bayin plus the noun eretz with a definite article plus the conjunction vav prefix to the construct bayin repeated plus the plural noun shamayim with the definite article. Once again, the conjunction vav is a connective vav, and it's correctly translated and it's also a conversive vav. This is unique to Hebrew. It's a conversive vav converting the imperfect of nasa into a perfect. So, nasa. NASA. See, I told you it was NASA. There it is. NASA. And NASA means, first of all, it means to lift. It means to carry. It means to take. It also means to lift up. The subject of the verb NASA is the two women, religious Babylon and commercial Babylon. The object they are carrying is the ha'ephah, the ephah. And they are carrying it ben ha'eretz uben hashamayim, between the earth and the heavens. So now we have this verse 9 completed. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women were coming out with the wind in their wing, and they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heavens. All right. One. Storks have very large wings. They are broad and strong, and they are able to carry these migratory birds for a long time over great distances without tiring. Two, the wind assisted the women as they swiftly removed the basket of wickedness from the land of Israel and flew it to a chosen destination. We'll find out what that is in this vision. The wind assisted the women as they swiftly removed the basket of wickedness from the land of Israel and flew it to a chosen destination. Three, they fly the woman of wickedness, evil personified, to Babylon. It's called here in our vision, Shinar. They fly the woman of wickedness, evil personified, to Babylon and enshrine her there to be worshipped during the tribulation. They enshrine her there to be worshipped during the tribulation. Four, as the ephah is lifted off the ground and flown away, Zechariah asks in verse 10, where are they taking the ephah? So verse 10 sounds like this in corrected translation. And I said to the angel, the teaching angel who was speaking with me, where are they taking the ephah? That's verse 10. See, it's not a lot there, but that's what exactly what it says. Now, verse 11. And he said unto me to build for it an house in the land of Shinar. There's the key, Shinar. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfect of Amer, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, plus the cal infinitive construct of the verb bana, joined by a makef to the preposition lamav with the third person singular suffix, plus the noun bayith, plus the preposition bath prefix to the noun eretz, and the noun shin-ar. We pronounce it shinar. The vav is a transitional vav and may be correctly translated and, moreover, now, or then. We'll translate it then. It is also a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of Amer into a perfect. The teaching angel is now adding to his explanation of the vision. So, Amer with vav is correctly translated. Then he said, the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, then he said to me, Zechariah, livnoth la bayith, literally to build for her a house. It's an idiom that is translated to build a house for her. And then we have Ba'aretz Shin'ar. Well, I should have started that over farther. I'm not going to get it all on. We'll start over here. So we got, that's the preposition bath, B-E, and then Eretz. In the land of, and then Shin-R. In the land of Shinar. In the land of Shinar. And Shinar is Babylon. In the land of Shinar or Babylon. Then he said to me to build a house for her in the land of Shinar, Babylon. And then he, in conclusion, and it shall be established and set there upon its own base. And this is the conjunction vav, prefix to the hafal, perfect, of the verb kun, plus the conjunction, the kahoon, see. This is the conjunction vav prefix of the hafal perfect of kun plus the conjunction vav prefix of the hafal perfect of the verb nuak plus the adverb sham plus the preposition al joined by a makef to the noun makona. The vav is a connective vav, correctly translated and. And then we have these two hafal verbs. First one is kun. K long U N, kun. And kun means to be firm. In the nifal stem, it means to be set up, to be established, to be fixed. We don't have the nifal stem. In the hafal stem, which is what we have, it means when it is prepared, when it is ready. And then we have the hafal of another verb, nuak. N-U-A-C-H, nuak. And in the kal stem, nuak means to rest. It means to settle down. It means to remain. In the hifel stem, nuak means to remain or to leave. But we don't have the kal or the hifel. We have the hafal stem. And that's what we have, and it means to be set there. To be set there, al makunata. Joined by a makef. Preposition al, then the makef, and then m shava k u n a t a h. Al makunata. And al-makunata means on its fixed resting place, on its fixed resting place, or on its base. And we'll translate it on its base. So, corrected translation. Then he said to me, to build a house for her in the land of Shinar, Babylon, and when it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. All right. Now let's take a look at the corrected translation of vision number 7. 5-11. Vision number 7. Then the angel, the teaching angel who was talking to me, came forward and said to me, now look up and see what this is, yatsa'ing, flying, going forth. And I asked, what is it? And he said, and he, the teaching angel, replied, this is the ephah, that is yatsa'ing, flying, going forth. Moreover, he added, this is their eye, their appearance, the iniquity of the people throughout the earth. Verse 7. And behold, a lead cover was lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the ephah. Verse 8, then he said, this is wickedness, evil personified. And he thrust her down into the basket, the ephah, and pushed the lead cover down over its mouth. And then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women were coming out with the wind in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. And I said to the angel, the teaching angel who was speaking with me, where are they taking the ephah? And then he said to me to build a house for her in the land of Shinar, Babylon. And when it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. Vision number 7. This vision is looking forward. The Bible doesn't tell us when the rapture is going to occur. But everything is set up. Everything is in place for the Antichrist to come on the scene, the man of lawlessness. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the Antichrist is living right now in Europe somewhere. He will be the leader of the revived Roman Empire and will wind up becoming the leader of the entire planet Earth. And then we're going to see Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation chapter 18 will be the issue in the tribulation period. The seventh vision is so powerful about what is going to take place in the tribulation period. So, 1. Shinar is where the cities of Babel, Erech, I'll spell that for you, Akkad, and Calneh So Shinar is where the cities of Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh were located. Turn over to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 8. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and that is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in Shinar. Now look over at chapter 11. Chapter 11, we could start at verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Verse 2. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. So Shinar is where the cities of Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh were located. 2. In Babel, under the guidance of Nimrod, the people built a city with a tower that reached to the heavens. In Babel, under the guidance of Nimrod, the people built a city with a tower that reached to the heavens. Genesis, you were in Genesis chapter 11, now just keep going, verse 3. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone, and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not, pay attention, and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. This is in direct disobedience to what God told them. God told them that they were to spread out over the entire earth, and they, in arrogance, totally disobeyed God. So in Babel, under the guidance of Nimrod, the people built a city with a tower that reached the heavens. Three, this activity was in direct disobedience to God. This activity was in direct disobedience to God, who instructed Noah and his descendants after they left the ark to fill the whole earth. This activity was in direct disobedience to God, who instructed Noah and his descendants after they left the ark to fill the whole earth. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the entire earth. That was the instructions from God. And they are in arrogance, direct disobedience, what God told Noah. Four. In open rebellion to God's command. In open rebellion to God's command, the people built a tower, the Tower of Babel, and placed a temple at its top. In open rebellion to God's command, the people built a tower, the Tower of Babel, and placed a temple at its top. Five, their rebellion manifested itself in unity, strength, and arrogance as they developed an evil religious system. Their rebellion manifested itself in unity, strength, and arrogance as they developed an evil religious system. Six, as a result of their arrogance, God confounded their language and scattered them around the world, which ended the construction on the city of Babel. As a result of this, God confounded their language and scattered them around the world, which ended the construction on the city of Babel. Seven, but the people did not stop their religious idolatry. But the people did not stop their religious idolatry. Eight, they spread their religious practices across the earth They spread their religious practices across the earth. And the ungodly beliefs of many religions today can be traced to the idolatry of Babylon. They spread their religious practices across the earth, and the ungodly beliefs of many, many religions today can be traced to the idolatry of Babylon. So a question. How well this evil, this wickedness mentioned throughout Zechariah chapter 5, how will that relate to Babylon in the future? Thank you for asking that. God tells us in the scriptures that Babylon is destined to rise from the ashes to play a major role in the tribulation. The name Babylon brings to mind unsavory images of an evil city-state with an abominable religious, political, and commercial system. So one, in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, the Apostle John outlined the rise and fall of Babylon during the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 17 and 18, the Apostle John outlined the rise and fall of Babylon during the tribulation. Two, events in these chapters represent one, an ecumenical religious system, which is being put together right before our eyes. An ecumenical religious system. Secondly, a political system. A political system. And third, a commercial Babylonian system. Events in chapters, Revelation chapter 17 and 18 represent an ecumenical religious system, a political system, a commercial Babylonian system. So let's turn over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. So you see, we go from Genesis to Revelation. Pretty good. So point three, let's take a look at Revelation 17, verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters." And the great prostitute is the great ecumenical religious system of the tribulation. So, Point three, in Revelation 17, verse 1, the Apostle John describes Babylon as a great prostitute. The Apostle John describes Babylon as a great prostitute. And the word prostitute is the Greek word porneia. P-O-R-N-E-I-A, porneia. It's the Greek word porneia. And porneia is the word that means prostitution. It means fornication of every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. That's porneia. Prostitution, fornication of every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse. And let's amplify that a little bit, subpoint one. This refers to Babylon's abominable religious idolatry. This refers to Babylon's abominable religious idolatry. Subpoint two. This perverted ecumenical religious system will become the epitome of spiritual idolatry, and will reach its peak during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. This perverted ecumenical religious system will become the epitome of spiritual idolatry and will reach its peak during the first half of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. Subpoint three. The prostitute is pictured sitting on many waters. Sitting on many waters. Revelation 17:1 again, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute," ecumenical religious system, who sits on many waters. Who sits on many waters. And this is defined, what is sitting on many waters? Well, turn over to Revelation 17, verse 15. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute is sitting are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." In other words, all over planet Earth. So here's the prostitute. She's not only riding the beast, she's sitting on people all over planet Earth. Subpoint four. Captivated by Babylon's charm, the whole world will become intoxicated by this ecumenical religious system. Captivated by Babylon's charm, the whole world will become intoxicated by this ecumenical religious system. Now you can see in our vision when the teaching angel picked up the lead cover and he said, "This is a woman." Then he shoved her down into the ephah, put the lead cover over it, because she is pure personified evil. And there's a time she will be revealed. It will follow the resurrection of the royal family of God at the rapture. And everything is set up in the world right now for the Antichrist, for the tribulation. Everything that the Bible says will take place during the... You won't be able to buy or sell or do anything unless you have the mark of the beast. You won't do anything. There is no cash. It's a cashless society. And he controls everything. You won't buy anything. You won't sell anything. And that's set up right now. It's set up now. It's just waiting for the rapture to take place and it'll go into effect. It's ready now. And I've tried to present to you these things, what's going on in the world right now. And you have your iPhones, iPads, this and that, and computers, and you have no privacy at all. You have no privacy at all. None. And when the rapture takes place, there will be no such thing as cash. If you want to buy or sell anything, you have to follow what the Antichrist demands. And that's all. It's all ready right now. All of your TVs and everything they all have microphones. They can hear everything. It's all set up. Just waiting for the rapture. So captivated by Babylon's charm, the whole world will become intoxicated by this ecumenical religious system. Well, we're just getting started. We're going to see this prostitute, Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation chapter 18, in much more greater detail, because that's what vision number 7 is all about. This is what vision number 7 is all about. And so we're just getting started. There's a lot here. All right. We'll take it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us. May we take to heart the absolute truth of your word, learn from it, grow by it, and apply it skillfully and accurately to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.